Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Everybody, get down.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the musical obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And today, we're closing out our Dans Macabre double feature with another movie about hidden identities, killer dads, people singing to murder instruments, locked away teens from the world.
A lot of similar themes.
It actually lined up pretty well. We're talking about Repo, the Genetic Opera.
The Genetic Opera.
We're here to testify about Repo, the Genetic Opera.
I had so much fun revisiting this movie. This is a weird one for us because we had such an obsession with this movie when it... I don't know if it was when it came out or if it's when we found it at the Blockbuster.
Had an obsession.
This is what I'm saying. Like spinach, which we ruined for ourselves.
Okay.
We just ate too much of it in a short period. Like, we went to Costco and we bought a big bucket of spinach and we just gorged on it.
Yeah.
And so we hadn't watched this movie in a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
It was so fun revisiting it and being like, I know every word.
Yeah. This is still a banger.
It was such an experience that the volume kept getting turned up, but I was at one point lying down drinking a tea, and then I was sitting cross-legged.
It was a blast, yeah. We just sort of rented this, like the way that you used to discover movies at the video store, the way you kind of discover movies on streaming services now. Like, oh, this looks fun. Let's grab this. Never heard of this. I don't even know if we knew it was a musical. I guess we probably assumed, just based on the title. Watched it a million times. Made all of our musical theater friends watch it. They did not like it as much as us. Sorry, guys.
It's a real shame because the music is so fucking good.
If you're really into nu metal, yeah, it's pretty fucking good.
If you're into fucking good music, it's good, John.
Or if you're into Paul Sorvino doing opera.
He's real good, though.
Okay, this is clearly good thing number one. We're gonna lay out three good things about Repo the Genetic Opera. Good thing number one has to be the songs are banging. They're nu metal. They're operatic. We got a cameo from Sarah, not even really a cameo, like a supporting role from Sarah Brightman, who's in the original cast recording of Phantom of the Opera.
And she's so cool in this.
She's so fucking cool. What's good thing number two?
Is there anything that we can do in the three good things that's not like the music? Because that's all I care about.
I got you. Good thing number two, Anthony Head, the lead.
Is really good musically.
he disembowels a person, then stuffs his arm up the torso cavity, and then plays his mouth like a puppet. Like he has a duet, like a singing duet with a corpse that he's puppeting. And the best part about that is that right afterward, he's like, oh fuck, that was a little too far. I think I'm going crazy a little bit here. And piggybacking on that, just like fun little visuals in this movie, good thing number three has to be Paris Hilton has kind of only one real song in the movie, and in the middle of that performance...
She's got a couple song appearances.
Her face falls off. Her entire fucking face just sloughs off onto the goddamn stage.
It's wonderful, and honestly, it came in that period where Paris Hilton was, you know, acting a little bit. She appeared in, what, House of Wax and this?
Hell yeah.
And I love her for it.
Yeah. She's actually pretty good in this movie.
She is pretty good in this.
They don't actually give her, like, big songs. I think she had a fucking album out around this time. And they were like, you don't have to sing a full song. Don't worry.
Most of the children don't have their own songs.
Nah.
Like, they kind of share songs.
Which is good, because some of them don't know how to sing.
Okay, but shut up.
Those are three good things about Repo the Genetic Opera. We highly suggest you check this one out. Can be a little harder to find sometimes, but I know you can rent it pretty easily. We're going to give you a quick, if you haven't seen it, we're going to give you a quick little taste of the songs that are waiting for you in this movie with the trailer. And when we get back, we're going to talk about repossessing organs.
And singing songs about it.
Singing songs about it.
By the middle of the 21st century, organ failure had become a worldwide epidemic. But GeneCo was there to satisfy the demand for organ replacements. The problem is, if you miss a payment, GeneCo sends out the repo man. And when he finds you, your time is up.
Collect on the Handelman account at once. His payment is past due.
It's me she must escape. I'm only living out a lie. I'm the monster. I'm the villain. What?
Repo the Genetic Opera. You gotta pronounce the exclamation mark. It's currently sitting at a 6.4 out of 10 on IMDb, a 37% on Rotten Tomatoes, with a mirrored audience rating of 73%.
Wow.
And a 3.1 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
This is one of those divisive ones that if you've met somebody who's seen it,
oh, yeah,
they either fucking love it or fucking hate it.
You're hanging out with them for the rest of the party.
Yeah, like you've either met a new best friend, yeah, in that person, or you're never going to speak to them again.
Because they're wrong.
Because they're incorrect.
Yeah, this movie's so fun. It's set, like I said, 10 minutes in the future.
I'd say 20 minutes in the future.
It's set a couple years in the future, the not too distant future. It's got maybe too much backstory at the beginning, I'll give you that. But in this world, there is an epidemic of organ failure.
I love the overload of information and characters. I'm just like, this is crazy because this was a stage musical and I have no idea how
the fuck
this.
Did they do any of this on stage?
I don't know. Somebody came out and read a 3-hour scroll.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Before
everybody
they started? I don't know.
Everybody got a pamphlet. They're just like, here's what you need to know. You're going to be lost without this.
Family tree.
There's millions of people have died, but then a new company steps up called GeneCo, and they are essentially a savior of the day. They are offering synthetic designer organs that won't fail, that you can purchase for a low, I shouldn't say low, I have no idea what it costs, but you can finance new organs, and by the sounds of it, it bankrupts most people. And in a fun little twisted evil turn of just pure capitalism.
I love capitalism. Well, I love it in horror movies.
Yeah, in horror movies, it's pretty great. Rati Largo, the owner of GeneCo, has...
Paul Sorvino
passes a law that makes organ repossession legal. So if you default on your loans, your financing payments for your organs, they can send a repo man to come out and collect your heart, your lungs, your spine, whatever the fuck. They also managed to make designer organs like hella fashionable. So like everybody's got work done, everybody's done something, and everybody is in debt to GeneCo.
That's very David Cronenberg of the movie.
Hell yeah.
Now thinking about it, because what was his most recent film called?
Crimes of the Future.
Wasn't that one very organy?
Kinda. I mean, there was a lot of like performance art with organs. And people who could process microplastics, which frankly, we're really going to need in the future.
We really are going to need
that. God, we're going to need that. If we can't figure that out, it's going to be bad. You know the worst part about it, though? If we do, like, grow a new organ, that can process microplastics, our farts are going to smell so bad.
Like when you put something wrong in the microwave?
Yeah, it's going to be awful.
Okay, so that's not even the...
We haven't started the movie.
That's not even all of the information of the first bit. Nope. So our main character is Nathan. He, side job, works as one of these repo men, but he's also a dad to a girl named Shiloh, uh-huh. who's got a medical condition, and he's got guilt because mom died giving birth to Shiloh around the time.
No. It was like he was giving her a medicine, like some sort of treatment. She died from that. So it's literally
okay, and he rescued the kid.
Fault.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember when we find out the rest of the information. But...
Throughout the whole fucking movie. It just goes. We do learn pretty quickly that Rati Largo was the original boyfriend.
Oh my God, this is too much.
Yeah, this is a lot, right? But it's kind of like Sweeney Todd, though. Like, we have somebody who is wielding their power to sort of steal away somebody else's betrothed. Like, in this, he literally kills her kind of as punishment for falling in love with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, Roddy sort of sweeps it under the rug for Nathan. But in exchange, he has to become his repo man.
Well, and Nathan thinks he's the one that poisoned her.
Yeah. He thinks he'll go to jail for murder, essentially, or manslaughter. Or
yeah, exactly. So, yeah, he covers it up, but then in exchange, he does a lot of these, like, back-end deals. So he's got these people indebted to him for life.
Oh, yeah. Everybody around him, with the exception of his children, is indebted to him for life. They are, like, even Blind Mag, played by Sarah Brightman, who is...
The coolest fucking character with the coolest eyelashes ever.
She's, oh, man, there's a lot. So Jean Co. has an opera that people go to, and she is the lead star of the opera. I don't know why they own an opera. I've never once given it any thought, but it's pretty rad.
If this is what capitalism is going to become, and it will,
uh-huh.
at least the cream that rose to the top was dramatic and flamboyant and did fun things. Like, if you're going to be the devil, I want it to be the devil, you know, that's wearing, like, the play suit made of latex with the horns and
the
tail.
You want Elizabeth Hurley.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. You want Elizabeth Hurley in a one-piece suit with a devil tail.
If I'm going to be exploited, I want it to be at a goth opera.
Yeah, that'd be all right. I mean, that'd be the one place they'd be able to do it.
I approve. Testify.
Yeah, there's... Ugh, and Blind Mag also indebted to Rati Largo. So much so that if, you know...
Yeah, because she just didn't read her contract well.
Yeah, like, she was blind, and they gave her new eyes. Eyes that have the ability to cast holograms.
To make fucking ghosts.
There's a song that she sings in this movie to Shiloh, with Shiloh's dead mother. Like, she's projecting images of Shiloh's mother, Marnie, out into the room where they're both standing. And you can hear her singing along with her. It kind of sounds like a Moby sample, but... Does that mean that her eyeballs have speakers? Like, where's the sound coming from?
I don't know, but it's cool.
Oh, it's fucking rad.
It's
yeah.
so cool.
It's great. She also wears the most uncomfortable eyelashes that Kim tells me I've ever seen.
They just look so heavy.
I don't know anything about wearing eyelashes and what would be good and what would be bad, but I know that they are approximately 8 inches long.
Oh, man.
Tops and bottoms.
Yeah, okay, so are we caught up? Do we have everything?
No, definitely not. There's a fuck ton more.
I have to say, and I'm fully going to admit this, like we were saying earlier about how we watched this 1,000 times, I definitely didn't get half of this plot until like maybe the 5th time we watched it.
Yeah.
I was just full steam ahead. I love this because I really dug the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly, over time, did I piece together every cog of the plot.
Frankly, that's been my experience with most musicals. Like, I'm talking purely stage musicals, maybe ones that have been adapted for film later on, but I find musicals overly complicated. Like, in how the characters relate and the backstory and this and that. It's like every single musical is always 11 seasons of soap opera.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, maybe it's just because it has to be so over the top and so dramatic that it kind of comes out like that. Like, everybody's stabbing everybody in the back. Everybody's got motivations. Everybody's been hurt. Everybody's been double-crossed. Everybody's got ulterior motives.
Yeah, I think it's just that ensemble cast thing that I was saying in the previous episode, that because of the dedication that theater takes to perform.
Oh, like no bad roles, basically?
There are no bad roles, yeah. Exactly. And to have that, you have to have a really complicated story.
And this movie definitely has no bad roles. Definitely.
Not a single bad role.
Not even the kids played by, one of them played by Bill Moseley, whose singing voice is like this!
Okay.
Hello! Yeah, but I'm singing now!
Okay, but it's so good for his character, and it is, it's staying in your wheelhouse. Like, if you know that you can't, you know, sing a lot, like, alongside operatic singers.
Yeah.
It works so well for his character that he's just shout singing, and I love every line delivery.
Yeah, but it's, it is fucking crazy, like.
Shut the fuck up!
That's.
That was a quote from a song. That wasn't me being a dick.
They may as well have gotten Gilbert Godfrey to play the role. Like, he could have pulled it off just as well. Like, it's always nice to see Bill
Moseley.
Did you
have to look up Gilbert Godfrey?
Don't tell him that I pulled my phone out for that. I couldn't remember his name. I was like, I didn't want to say, like, they should have hired Iago from Aladdin, which is what I had to Google to get the name.
No, Bill Moseley is one of my favorite people in this movie.
He's really good in the movie,
his
but
character's
he's crazy.
So great.
Yeah, his other brother, Pavi, played by Ogre from the band Skinny Puppy. It's like a Texas Chainsaw homage. He always wears other people's faces. It's pretty fucking cool.
And it's also great for theater because it really reminds me of those the theater masks.
That's probably actually where it came from, yeah.
Like the happy sat, I don't know what they're officially called.
I think they're the drama comedy masks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's Windows clip art now is what it is.
Yeah, he looks like that.
Exactly. The best
too
is...
And he's great too because he's got such fun flair.
Yeah.
Like, he's definitely wearing an ascot in my memories, even though he's probably not wearing an ascot.
He's probably wearing an ascot. I love when they're at the opera at the end of the movie and he's got this giant beaming smile because he's also waiting for his dad to tell him that he's going to inherit the company. And all he gets is bad news. And behind the fake smile face, you can see him going, oh no!
What?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's your favorite song in the movie?
It's so hard. Anything that Nathan sings, anything that Anthony Head sings, he's so good in this.
Yeah.
And most of the songs have the duality of like being a dad, so he's got the very gentle singing voice, and then he'll transform halfway through or from verse to verse into the Repo Man,
yeah.
And he gets that like, that gritty, gnarly tone. Those are the moments where, in our previous episode, I was saying that he should play Benjamin Bach.
Yeah, he could have fucking killed us. He could still do it. He could still play Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, there's even, which I remember when we were rewatching, scenes where he's singing to his blade,
yeah.
Just like Sweeney Todd
yeah,
does.
Yeah, yeah, like, instead of like, this is my, like, hello, my friends, or whatever. There's a whole chunk of a song in this movie where he's singing to his night surgeon knife.
That might be one of my favorite songs. And I also like the one he sings before where he's just kind of explaining raising the daughter just because the vocals are so well performed.
Is it like, the years go by without you, Molly.
17 have come and gone.
This whole movie's just got so many good drops is the other thing. Like, characters will say stuff and then all of a sudden you just get like, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun.
The heaviest bass tone.
Dun, 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 dun.
Like, it's at a like a Tool demo that you've never heard before. Or something from A Perfect Circle.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. And two, like, even the songs you don't necessarily love, they'll have a line that's just a fucking banger all of a sudden, and you're like, damn it, you got me on board.
Yeah, which is good, because it's a overly complicated story. Like, there's just too many pieces, and they keep adding more. They're like, by the way, on top of this, there's also a drug that people are addicted to.
And a grave robber who can look at the camera.
Yeah, he's our entry into this world, I guess. He's barely a chorus. Like, he's not really around a whole lot.
He's in the graveyard and in the back alley, and I'm sure he's in there more if you look at the deleted scenes. There's
yeah,
a lot
probably,
that
yeah.
got cut out of this musical, and this is something that we learned in our obsession period for the movie,
uh-huh.
Because when you listen to the credits, there are songs that are not in the film, and they also happen to be maybe the best songs of the movie. I'm talking about
there's some pretty good ones.
Okay, I'm talking about Needle and a Bug, or Needle and Two a Bug. needle in a bug.
We're really showing our obsession here, huh? Okay. We shouldn't know the titles of the songs.
It's such a banger, and you're like, where in the movie is this? Because it's Shiloh and the Grave Robber. And then you learn that this movie has a lot of things cut out. Makes a lot of sense because there are scenes where, you know, some stuff isn't tied together in the neatest of ways. That song that we were talking about, that's one of my favorites of the whole movie, where Nathan's like, he's kind of singing in the hallway of the house and there's all these holographs of Marnie, which look really cool. Mm-hmm. But he's singing to like this glass case that has like a mourning outfit in it. Do you remember this?
And we
cut to it a few times in the song.
Oh, you think there should be a scene?
And you think it's important, and it was important in the initial writing of it, filming of it, but things got cut out, and so they don't revisit it. There are moments, too, like in the finale where Shiloh's going through the building, and she hides from her dad, and then there's a corpse there that she hides to trick him. And I think that's the same outfit from the house.
Okay.
And I think it's... the corpse of the mom. Like, I think she
you
never...
You think he keeps the corpse?
I think she never got, like, interred into her tomb.
I think you're right, because... God damn it. Why are we talking about a part of the movie that doesn't exist?
But I'm just saying there's moments in the movie that are cut out, but aren't cut out everywhere.
Well, because that needle in a bug thing is him explaining to the grave robber, explaining to Shiloh how to extract the Zydrate, which is the street drug, or like a street version of Zydrate, which is this like heroin that you extract from corpses. And then, but it also glows, which is integral to what I'm trying to explain here, because when she extracts it and it provides a little light in the room, she sees that it's the corpse of her mother.
Yes,
so she's taken the Zydrate out of her mother's corpse?
I think that's the case.
Yeah, because I think he's maybe got the grave robber tied up at their house because he's gonna take an organ away from him?
I don't know.
Hard to say.
Yeah, it's just too much missing.
And with all of the songs they cut, they still kept the weird, I'm 17.
17.
Just like not a tight song. I'd say a very teenage song. Perfect for the moment.
It's a fun little like aside in a play.
Yeah.
And it's really fun in the movie because we're in like an alternate universe. The puppets are dancing.
You say
Jett's
the puppets
the
are dancing like we've been talking about puppets. She's got stuffed animals in her room that become puppets that start singing.
That are dancing.
Along.
Joan Jett's in the corner.
Joan Jett has a cameo in this movie, but she looks around like, how the fuck did I get here? Like Joan Jett was on stage in the real world a second ago, but all of a sudden we like monkey boned her over into the repo universe, and she's like, I don't know, well, fuck it. I mean, I'm unplugged in. I might as well go. Three chords. Who got it? Let's do it.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's a wild turn in that movie.
Yeah. You know, I don't hate it, though.
No, I don't hate it either. I mean, like, it sticks out like a sore thumb, but it's kind of supposed to. Like, it's this weird rebellious moment where she's trying to tell her dad that the mama drama's got to go. And it's full of fun little quirky little details like this all throughout. Like, even so, that song ends abruptly because he smacks her, and then we cut to the actual room. There's no floodlights, there's no puppets, there's no Joan Jett, there's like classical music playing, and he's like, oh shit, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. But there's a sense of humor woven throughout this movie that is what gives it like such personality. My genuine favorite moment of the entire film is when Paul Sorvino is meeting Shiloh for the very first time. He picks her up in a graveyard. He's singing to her in his limo. And at some point, while he's just wailing away, we cut out of the limo. And it's muffled. Like, we're actually there listening to it, right? Paul Sorvino's making a lot of choices in here. And I think making choices in a musical is even crazier than making choices in a movie.
That's true. If there's any kind of roles that you can't take liberties with, and I'm not saying like with the costuming or performance, but with the songs,
yeah,
you really need to work with the team on them.
Yeah, just showing up and being like, "Nah, I think we're gonna hold this note for a few extra beats." You're like, "Why?"
That said, it's Paul Sorvino.
Oh no, that said,
the songs are great.
It's great. He's awesome in the movie. He's great. There's this scene where he puts a wig on. But he doesn't need a wig. Like, he puts a wig over top of styled hair just to, like, be a little extra fancy. We didn't mention once that he's dying in this movie. Like, that's how we open.
Oh, yeah, he's dying.
Yeah, he's dying. Isn't it crazy to you that this whole movie takes place over one night?
No. It does not.
The movie starts, the sun has already set.
It's 36 days at least.
No, but the whole movie, it's all one night. All of the press conferences, all of the meetings, all of the side quests and missions. We go to the opera, we leave the opera, we go back home, we go. He is out killing people, doing business, having meetings, talking to his daughter. Like, all of this is happening in one evening. Paul Sorvino gets...
I mean, we don't see anybody sleep, so, like, I can't say that's not true. Yeah, I guess they're like, the opera's tonight. The opera tonight.
From the very beginning of the movie, they're like, the opera tonight. And yeah, we only get to the opera at the end of the movie. Paul Sorvino gets a terminal diagnosis at the beginning of the movie, and he spends what would normally be like 6 months of dying.
I mean, it's pretty good, though. It's really great for his character because he owns this company that like revolutionized death and aging.
And he can die.
Yeah, there's a really great line in one of the songs. He said, the man that cured the globe can't stop his own extinction.
Yeah, that is a line in one of these songs.
I like it. What's your favorite song?
My favorite song in this movie is probably Night Surgeon. Night Surgeon's pretty great. It's a song where Nathan, played by Anthony Head, is sort of trying. He's coming into the office to say that he's not going to do this fucking repo bullshit anymore. Like, his daughter needs him. It's evil work. I've been your like puppet of destruction and evil. And then they just kind of like, they lean on him. And we watch him go from being a person who has regret about what he's doing, who has compassion and just wants to take care of his daughter, to reminding himself that there's something inside of him that likes to kill people and just cut them open and take out their organs. Outside of that, probably Thankless Job is a really good song. And that's where he's...
See, like, all the Anthony Head songs.
All the Anthony Head songs are incredible.
So good.
Yeah. I'd say some of my favorite music, not just like lyrics, is At the Opera Tonight. Or like, let's get this opera shit started or something like that.
Let's start the fucking opera.
I don't remember the name of the song. Yeah, but that's where we get all the like the testify. Like,
yeah, I think that might just be called Testify.
It might be. It's like we're at a church revival.
But
like
it's a great transition into the finale.
Fuck yeah.
Like, especially with the movie, we were talking about going to the opera and the opera's coming.
When are we going to get to the opera?
When are we going to go to the opera? It's called Repo the Genetic Opera. We want there to be an opera, and there's a motherfucking opera, and it gets such a spectacular introduction. It's phenomenal.
It totally
great.
Holds up.
I love it so much.
And it is such a fitting opera end, right? Like, we have people who are killing themselves on stage in protest. We have weird reveals and, like, dastardly choices. Like, this is where Shiloh sort of, like, learns that her dad is the reason her mother has died.
And he's also a repo man who kills people for a living.
There's so much regret and so much confession happening on stage.
Oh, also, she's not sick. He's been saying she's sick and she can't go outside this whole time in the movie.
And it's all happening live in front of an audience. Like, they came to see an opera and instead they saw a soap opera, right? Like, instead they came to see an opera and instead they just saw a family feud,
which is well worth the ticket price.
It's pretty great. It's a lot of fun.
I mean, they were probably perk tickets. Like, you probably got it for, you know, getting like 5 stamps on your body organ card.
I don't know.
It's probably the box seats.
Oh, you think most of this is just like
clients.
When the insurance company is just like, oh, we got a box here. Or, like, we rented out a whole stadium. Would y'all like to go to a free sports game?
But like, the most loyal customers get to go to the opera.
The people who have the most organs replaced.
Exactly.
I mean, we do have a bunch of people in the audience singing about how much they love Gene Co. So yeah, I guess that checks. That checks out.
Man, I can't believe we forgot to talk about the Shiloh sickness thing, because that's also a huge plot point, that she's not supposed to go outside, but she likes to collect bugs, so she sneaks outside. And then Roti Largo hates his kids because he thinks they're ingrates.
Oh yeah, we didn't
and
say
he wants,
that, yeah.
He wants her to be his heir because she's Marnie's daughter. And
he's like, you would have been mine if Marnie had a chosen
because that's how
me.
Genes work.
Yeah.
Right. He owns Gene Co. He should understand. There's really cool studies that they've done. This is a side note. Uh-huh. There's really cool studies that they've done in your DNA that things that you wouldn't think would be carried on in your genes are. Like,
okay.
If, say, your grandma went through a famine or the depression during a certain period in her life, that gene can get almost like logged or like, you know, saved on a floppy disk that's later uploaded into your computer when you're born.
Uh-huh.
And at that age that, say, your grandma was when she experienced a famine or a lack of food or issues, your body will like turn on a switch at that age in your life to start conserving calories or lowering your metabolism just during that period.
Because you're expecting a famine.
Exactly. Mm. Which is kind of interesting.
Bodies are weird, man.
Bodies are fucking weird. Mm-hmm. So genes are set in stone and you can't change who you are. Is the moral of the story. Don't change your organs. And also don't do drugs that are formaldehyde?
I don't think it's formaldehyde.
Blood?
I don't even know exactly
question
what it
mark?
Is. Who fucking knows?
Because they come straight out of corpses ready to go.
Yeah, like a grave.
Glowing and ready to go.
This guy's not bringing them to a lab and doing anything to them. He's just sticking a syringe
he's
up their nose.
He's not even cooking
them. He's just like, here we go. Fucking gold, baby.
Yeah, and so my headcanon, it's either that everybody is a Zydrate addict, so much so that they're 100% Zydrate by the time that they die.
Okay.
That they're just reusing it.
Uh-huh.
You know, like dinosaurs, how they're oil. Like, we're just using old Zydrate.
Yeah.
Or the organs themselves create Zydrate as a byproduct. And so in this world where everybody's got designer organs, when they die, they create it as a byproduct.
Yeah, I hate trying to think about the logistics of it.
There's
I
me just justifying that weird glowing blue juice that comes out of corpse nose.
I just love the idea of extracting a drug from a corpse that makes you sort of like numb to the pain of living.
Yeah, that's
like, isn't
good.
That fucking poetic and rad?
Yeah, it's like micro zombie.
Fucking love it.
Microdosing zombieism.
Because people get addicted to it because of the pain from surgery. And like that's what Amber Sweet's character is all about. This is Paris Hilton's character. She is addicted to the knife. And so she's also
addicted to the knife?
Addicted to the knife. And so she's also addicted to Zydrate, which is makes it easier for her to go and have surgery after surgery after surgery, or to get on stage after having her entire face transplanted and feeling nothing.
No.
It's pretty great. So this movie's definitely a mess.
It's a little bit.
It's a mess that I love.
Yeah. It's like an unpolished gem.
Yes.
Like, there is so much fucking cool shit in this movie.
Hell yeah.
That you can kind of overlook moments that you don't understand. Or, you know, visual things.
Yeah. It is, it's primitive. And it's raw.
What?
And it's, It's just a indie gem. It's, I think if it had more money and more hands in it, it would just get worse and worse and worse.
Oh. I was like, if this movie had $100,000 more, it would be fucking 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
100,000? Yeah. I mean, you could do a lot with 100,000.
At least my
Rotten Tomatoes. You add an extra zero to the budget, and all of a sudden it starts to become a problem. Like, I think, you know, it exists in a sweet spot where they had a budget and a oversight that just allowed them to do what they wanted. And, like, it's really kooky and it's really weird, but it's incredibly unique. Like, there is no other horror musical quite like it. And it's a movie that I love recommending to people. And yeah, like I actually brought this movie up, I don't know, a couple weeks ago or something, with just like a stranger that I was talking to at work. And it just like popped up in conversation. Like, I reminded them about it. They had seen it as well, but like they clearly had not also watched it in years. And like, oh, fuck, yeah, I forgot about that movie. I'm watching that tonight.
That's so fun. And I think what's cool, too, is you can kind of see the grassrootsiness of it. The two writers are performing in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of band leader in the Testify song and the Grave Robber is one of the writers. And it was a little stage play before it became a movie. And Darren Limbausman, the director, created like a proof of concept short film to get the movie sold, which is so cool. I love that it was this little play. It had a very Rocky Horror Picture Show start.
It does. Yeah, it did. So how would you rate Repo: The Genetic Opera?
It's hard because I'm so biased. I really loved revisiting this, and it was the right amount of time after having seen this movie, you know, 50 times when I was 20.
Oh, yeah. 18,
19, whenever it was we watched it. And then just like re-experiencing all those songs again after having not heard them for years. Like, I'm in a 4 out of 4 glow right now. It's not without its issues.
You can give it a 4 out of 4 if you want.
But I do.
Is Maximum Overdrive a 4 out of 4 movie? No. I give it 4 out of 4
because
I think it's fucking awesome.
Okay, 4 out of 4 then.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 3.5 out of 4. I don't think it's perfect. You know? I think it's a lot of fun.
You fucking dick.
These songs are bangers. I mean, it's no Maximum Overdrive, but it's pretty fucking good.
Oh, it's so good. Like, I already want to watch it again.
Yeah. We've already listened to more of the songs again before we sat down to record.
We're just in such a weird musical moment.
I was at work today humming Phantom of the Opera songs.
I was fucking singing it today. Like, I can't get away from it.
We're obsessed.
I thought maybe doing this double feature would help cure us. Like, you know, if you lean into the earworm, but it's not helping.
Okay, look, if you have a cure for whatever boogie fever we've got right now... Hit us up in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord. And if the cure happens to be more horror goth musicals,
please recommend.
Please send those recommendations our way. If you want to hear our thoughts on Phantom of the Opera, we've got lots of them. And you can hear them in the Fiend Club at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. It's where you can support the show and get hours of bonus content. It's all waiting for you over there. So link in the episode description wherever you're listening to this right now. And if you enjoyed this episode, I know you're going to love what's waiting for you in the Fiend Club.
That's it from us this week. We'll be back at you again next week with another regularly scheduled episode of the show. But until then, I'm Kim.
I'm John.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive. But we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.